Psalms 104, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We want to thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being able to speak to our hearts through it and help us, Lord, through it and help as it changes our lives and changes men's hearts. We thank you for that. God, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll be referencing a lot of scripture tonight, and so you don't have to turn to every passage, but everything that I'm going to cover tonight is what the Bible has to say about angels, all right? It's not what, Brother Billy Graham has to say about them or any of these other people that's written books about them, okay? I didn't, Google angels to get my sermon off the internet, all right? Only parts of it. No, just kidding. Right, I just did a word study on the word angel and went to every place where it talks about an angel, the purpose, what an angel does. Very fascinating study, so I'm going to share that with you this evening. But before we begin, I want us to remember that although we're going to be studying angels, we must never forget where the main focus of everything for Christians should be, and that's on our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has done a great job at getting people to focus on everything except Christ. Sometimes even sincere people get caught up in things that may seem to be innocent, but if they're not careful, will draw their attention away from Christ. Satan has used Hollywood through the years to draw people's attention to angels and looking to them for their divine help instead of looking to the source of all help. Whether it's an angel mysteriously appearing and walking down a highway in the sunset, y'all probably remember that, highway to heaven or whatever it is. David said it best when he said in Psalm 121, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And my help cometh from the Lord, folks, not from an angel, but from the Lord. Now the Lord, as we're going to see tonight, will commission his angels to help us, but our help is from the Lord. And any time in the Bible where a man came in contact with an angel and began to worship the angel, we always find the same response by the angel. Let me give you an example here. Revelation chapter 22. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I had heard it seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things." I don't think John probably on purpose was going to worship the angel. I think John was just so carried away that he just couldn't do anything but fall to his knees and begin to worship. But notice what the angel said. "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Amen. Worship God. So even though we're going to talk about angels tonight, and we're going to focus in on them, remember something, folks, don't let it ever take the place of Jesus Christ. In fact, God said this, and Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, "Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." That's talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten to the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Worship him, worship Christ. It makes perfect sense, though, that Satan would pervert the use of angels and try and cause people to worship them. What's the Bible say about Satan? "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a what? Angel of light." And folks, that's what Satan wants. Satan wants worship. And so we must never turn our worship and our focus away from God to angels. But they are in the Bible. God did make them, and he has a purpose for them, so we're going to look at it tonight. The word angel in the Old Testament, from the Hebrew word, comes from the Hebrew word malach, and it means a messenger, and it means an angel, it means an ambassador, and it means a king or a messenger. That's what it means in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek word for angel is angelos, and it means a messenger, and it also could mean a pastor. Most of the time you see the word angel in the Bible, it is referring to the spirit being created by God. Occasionally, it will refer to a human messenger, as in the case in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. That's why, folks, the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. You got to make sure you keep in context what's going on in the Scripture. But for the most part, when you see the word angel in the Bible, it is speaking of a spirit being that God created. Now, let's begin with this. Let's look at the purpose of angels. The purpose of angels. You ever wonder what they're for? And, why did God create these beings called angels? Well, the Bible gives us the answers for it. Number one is this. They were used to deliver messages from God before the Word of God was completed in its entirety. And we know that's true. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Of course, the Old Testament had been given. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. We find also in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That was Zechariah the priest. And verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, folks, nowadays angels don't appear and give messages to people. I don't know if you understood this or not, but the prophet, Joseph Smith, the Mormon founder, he received the revelation from the Book of Mormon from an angel named Moroni. And so the Book of Mormon supposedly comes from an angel. And folks, let me just say this. That is not one of the purposes in our day and age for angels to deliver messages to God, to us. That's why we have the Word of God. So if someone tells you they receive a revelation from an angel, they're false. It's not true. Maybe they just had too much pizza the night before, but it wasn't an angel of God. It could have been a spirit, but it wasn't the Spirit of God, because that's why we have the Word of God. Okay, so that's the first reason, the purpose of an angel. Number two was they were used to pass God's judgment. Used to pass God's judgment. In Genesis chapter 19, God sent two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to usher in his judgment upon upon those cities. As 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 15, this is when David sinned. And God had to bring judgment upon David's pride from numbering the people. And God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying it, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we think of this passage, Acts chapter 12, verse 23. And immediately, this is talking about Herod, the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So we find throughout the Bible that angels were used to pass God's judgment. Here's another purpose of the angels. Number three, worship and praise the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalms 148, verse 2, Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces. Here's that phrase again. And worshiped God. So God made the angels to worship and praise him. And so when we get to heaven, we're definitely going to experience that. And we'll be a part of that praise and worship service. Amen. Now, here's another reason that God gave the purpose for angels is to protect man. Now, you hear that term guardian angel used. Well, that is not a thought up, to make people feel good. That actually comes from the Bible. Let me read to you some verses here to back it up with Scripture. Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way. Now, I'll be honest with you, until I studied this out, I never really realized this was part of Jacob's experience here. This is not the dream he saw, but this is another time. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." That word host means army. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, which means a double camp. And this was actually before Jacob was away, on his way away from Laban to meet Esau. Now, isn't it very interesting here that as soon as Jacob had this encounter with this army of angels and they camped there with him, then he decided somehow, I wonder if the thought just popped in his head, to send forth messengers to meet his brother Esau. And I believe that these angels, God sent them to protect Jacob and give him the wherewithal to send forth messengers to try to besiege Esau. So we find here that these angels protected Jacob and his family. And Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." I tell you, there are just sometimes, folks, you get a little scared. And whether it's your circumstances you're facing, maybe it's a certain something happens to you. Maybe something you're involved in that brings fear in your life. Well, that's a good verse to memorize. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Psalms 91, verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Very interesting verse there. And folks, that's why I'm telling you, these people who do harm to children, they're going to have a special place in hell. I'm just telling you. Why do you think the Bible says that their angels always behold the face of the Father? Okay? I'm just telling you, that's a dangerous situation to be in. Now, let me give you an illustration here. And this is just one of many. I'm sure some of you may have heard this illustration. Maybe some of you have read a book with this in there. But the Reverend John Patton, pioneer missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, told this story. Hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one night, intent on burning the Pattons out and killing them. John Patton and his wife prayed all during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see that, unaccountably, the attackers had left. They thanked God for delivering them. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ. And Mr. Patton, remembering what had happened, asked the chief what had kept him and his men from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who are all those men you had with you there?" The missionary answered, "There were no men there, just my wife and I." The chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands. They seemed to circle the mission station so that the natives were afraid to attack. Only then did Mr. Patton realize that God had sent his angels to protect them. And folks, may I just say this, my own personal experience. You know what? Maybe we know when something like that happens. Maybe we don't. There's been times in my life. And you know how you get driving down the road, especially if you're driving on an interstate. And I've been driving, and most of the time you glance in your mirror before you're going to change a lane. I promise this is true. There's been times in my life where I've been driving, and I glance in my mirror, I don't see anything, but I just had this sudden feeling to look over my shoulder. And when I've done that, this happened to me three times before. When I look, there's a car in my blind spot. And, you know, where'd that sudden feeling or whatever come from? Well, I believe it was God protecting me. There's been other times in my life. I remember when I was young and stupid. Amen. I'm still young, but hopefully not as stupid. And me and my brother and Josh Davis, we decided we're going to ride our four-wheelers one day up in the hills. And we were riding up in those hills, and my four-wheeler flipped over. I should have either been hurt very badly or killed. It was very dangerous, very, very foolish to do. But you know what? I walked away. I did not get hurt. And my four-wheeler was a total crunched mess. I mean, literally, the guy that I took it to said, "I've never seen anything crunched that bad in my life." And that day, I believe, God supernaturally protected me, even from my own stupidity. Amen. And but I'm sure many of you have instances in your life where you can think of, maybe it was a car accident, or maybe it was something, and the Lord's protected you. Well, according to the Bible, he sends his angels to do that. Amen? And so God uses them to guard his children. Here's another purpose for the angels. They were used to protect and minister to Jesus when he was on earth. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, "And saith unto him, If thou," this is of course the devil tempting Jesus, "if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Matthew chapter 26, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Luke 22:43, "And there appeared unto him an angel, appeared unto him from heaven, strengthening him." And then Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." So for whatever reason, we know Jesus Christ had all power. Jesus Christ could do anything. But when he was on earth, he commissioned part of his safety into the hands of angels. Now, I personally believe Jesus Christ did that as an example to us. Because he was in his human body, of course, all God, but yet man, I believe he assigned his angels to protect him while he was on earth. I mean, there's several instances where the devil tried to kill Jesus. Several instances. Remember that time where the Bible says he was in a mob and he just passed through him, and they knew not that he passed through him. Maybe his angels just wrapped their wings around him and allowed him to pass through. But for whatever reason, Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, allowed his angels to supernaturally protect and minister to him. Here's another reason, another purpose for angels. They will be used at the end of the tribulation to supernaturally gather the saved of the earth to Jerusalem. Folks, there will be people saved during the tribulation. There will be people who have never heard the gospel before, but there will be people who are saved and who make it through the tribulation. Most folks, a lot of folks, will be martyred, but some of them will make it through. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 13, verse 26 and 27, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." And so we know there's going to be saved. And when Jesus Christ comes to rule from Jerusalem, he uses his angels to supernaturally transport. Talk about beaming me up, Scotty. Maybe it should be beam me up, Michael, or beam me up, Gabriel. But they're going to supernaturally gather the saved of the earth to Jerusalem. Here's another purpose for angels. They will return with Christ and his church and be part of the millennial kingdom. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we do know that the angels will be part of the millennial kingdom. Here's another purpose for angels. Some of them are warriors. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 through 17. "And he answered, Fear not." Okay, remember Elisha and his servant? And the Assyrians were camped around, and Elisha's servant just didn't know what to do, and he was all worried and scared. And this is Elisha's response: "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Man, I'll tell you, that's a comforting verse, amen? And folks, that's why prayer is so important. I mean, I believe if we could see in the spirit world tonight, I believe if God would allow us to do what Elisha's servant could have done, I believe we would look around, and I believe we'd see the supernatural protection of God around this place. And so we know that some of the angels are warriors. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." So we know that one of these days in heaven, this is when Satan, in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to be cast to the earth, and he's going to be cast there because Michael and his warriors are going to fight against him. And so we know that some of them are warriors. Now, lots of times when we think of angels, we think the fact that they have a sword. Well, that is biblical. The Bible tells us that. First Chronicles 21:27, "And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. But David could not go before it went to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. So, of course, God gives his warrior angels swords, and of course, they're used, I believe, to fight against the fallen angels. So that was another purpose for angels. Here's another one, number 9. They're used to fight against the wicked. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 35, verse 5 and 6, "Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them." That's speaking about the wicked there who want to persecute the Christians. Folks, listen to me. I know sometimes you get discouraged when you see what's going on in the world, but let me tell you something. God's got it all under control. Okay? For whatever reason, God allows certain things to happen, but we do know that according to the Word of God here, that He uses His angels to fight against the wicked. That's why the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." So when someone does you bad, the Bible tells us for us to be nice to, hey, be nice to them, because the angel of the Lord may be sticking them with a sword. You never know. I'm serious about that. I mean, how many times, you know, you got someone that's just a royal pain in the neck, and you're nice to them, and you help them, and the Lord may use that to work on their heart, because the Lord will take care of that. And then here's the last purpose I want to give you for angels. Man, this is good. I love this one. I say this for the best for last here underneath this point. They escort the saved to heaven. And I love this. Luke chapter 16, you know the verse. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." And I know there's stories in this room of people who have been at the deathbed of a loved one and has just felt a supernatural peace, it's supernatural, it's all you can say. Folks, let me tell you why. It's because when a soul is released from its body, the angels are there to take it to heaven. And I tell you, I've personally been in the presence of someone that's saved that has passed away, and all you can say is it's sweet. Now, I understand sometimes people, you know, they may die suddenly or they may die in some pain. But I'll just tell you, folks, whether they die suddenly in pain or not, we know that the angels are there to take them to heaven. Amen. And just on a side note on that, too, and this has a little bit to do with it. But I've always thought this. If the angels came and got Lazarus, who do you think came and took the rich man to hell? I'll just tell you this. Souls don't go to hell on their own. They have to be taken there. The Bible says hell is moved from beneath to meet thee at thy coming. And I believe that the fallen angels also are waiting to escort a soul to hell. But praise the Lord that God does it. Hey, that's why in the Bible it says when it speaks of death, it talks about sleeping in the Lord. To God, it's just as natural as going to sleep and waking up. And His angels are there to help us. All right, so those points I just gave you, 1 through 10, those were the purpose of angels. Now let me give you some attributes of angels. Some attributes of angels, all right? Number one is this. They are vast in numbers. They are vast in numbers. Psalms 68, verse 17. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 says this. "But ye are coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." According to the Bible, you can't even number. They're innumerable. And God, for whatever reason, made them so. And so we know that they are vast in numbers. Number two, here's another attribute of an angel. The Bible tells us that they are spirits. Psalms 104, verse 4. "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire." They're not like us. And we're going to see here in a few minutes how some attributes that they have where they aren't hindered by the things that we as humans are. But they're spirits, and that's the way God made them. Number three is this. They have a different nature than mankind. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 says this. "For verily," this is talking about Christ, "took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." You see, both angels and man have the same creator, but both are different in nature. And folks, it does not surprise me that God is so diverse in his creativity. I mean, look at the diverseness of humankind. I mean, look how many different types of humans there are. And you can even look at the animal kingdom and look at all the millions of species that God has created. So it's no wonder to us that that his unseen creation is also a different kind. That they are spirits. They have a different nature than mankind. Here's another attribute of angels. They sometimes are allowed by God to take human form. Genesis chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. If you read that story, they did not appear in the form of an angel. They appeared in the form of a man. In fact, most people, when they saw them, they just thought they were two strangers visiting the city. So God does allow his angels sometimes to appear in the form of a man. He even does that, according to the book of Hebrews, does that again for us today. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And even today, God, for whatever reason, allows his angels to take the form of a human to do whatever God wants them to do. And I think it was just not too long ago, Pastor, when he was preaching about hospitality, reminded us how important it is that we go out of our way to show Christian hospitality to people we do not know. And I think I remember him saying, I wonder if God sometimes will dispatch an angel in the form of maybe a snotty-nosed bus kid to come to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Just to see how the people respond and how the people treat him. I do know this. When I was a teenager, there was a couple that came to this church, and they came for about 2 weeks. They slipped right in, sat in the back row. I could only get their first names out of them, and they probably were just passing through, but I do know that we tried tracking these folks down. We tried the visitor card information. They didn't really fill out much on it, and we never could track them down again. I'm not saying they were angels, but I'm just saying that sometimes God could do that. And so you never know. And so that's why the Bible says to make sure you treat everyone correct, because sometimes God allows angels to take human form. Number five, here's another attribute of angels. They aren't hindered by the laws of nature. Now, according to the Bible, I will give you from the Bible what the Bible says about this. Number one is this: they cannot die. Luke chapter 20, verse 36, Jesus said this: neither can they die anymore. He's talking about those people that are saved, that are in heaven, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So we know that the angels cannot die. We find about the angels is that they have superhuman strength. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. And then Matthew 28, chapter 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, if I understand the customs right back then, this was no small stone they put in the front of Jesus' tomb. Not only did they put a stone there, the soldiers, the Bible says, they sealed it. Now, of course, I don't know how they sealed it, but for whatever reason, they sealed it. And there probably wasn't one soldier that could have moved that stone by himself. But according to the Bible, the angel came, and he moved it by himself and sat on top of it. So the angels have superhuman strength. We find out this. Here's just a very interesting point, that they're not affected by heat. Judges chapter 13, verse 20. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. Revelation chapter 19, verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together into the supper of the great God. So another attribute of angels, that they're, for whatever reason, they're not affected by extreme heat. We find one instance where an angel ascends up in a flame, and during a tribulation period, another angel will be standing in the sun. Here's another attribute as far as the fact that they're different from us. They have no language barrier. We know that Gabriel spoke to Daniel in the Old Testament. Of course, the Old Testament language was Hebrew. And in the New Testament, he appeared and he spoke to Mary and Joseph, in that time, the language was Greek. So there's no language barrier with angels. We find out this. This is kind of cool. They aren't affected by gravity. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So we know that angels are not affected by gravity. We find out this about angels. Wild animals can't hurt them. Are you thinking where I'm going with this one? Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. The angel was able to shut those lions' mouth. We find out this about angels. They eat. Praise God, there's going to be eating in heaven. Amen. And Psalm 78, 25. Man did eat what? Angel's food. And he sent them meat to the full. And so we know that angels eat. We know that this about angels, that they do not reproduce. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And so the angels, that they do not reproduce. We find out this, they are in subject to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Angels are in subject to God. I like this one. Angels are made aware of when a person gets saved or rejects Christ. For whatever reason, God allows his angels to know when someone gets saved or rejects Christ. We know, we've heard the voice before about rejoicing. I'll read it in a minute. In the presence, when the angels get saved. But the Bible also tells us that they know when someone chooses to reject Christ. Let me read the verse to you. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Praise the Lord, there is some rejoicing in heaven this week over some sinners that repented. Amen? And now let me read these other verses to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Very interesting there. The Bible says that when someone confesses Jesus Christ, that he turns around and confesses that person to the angels. But notice this in verse 9. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Very interesting there. I'm going to tell you why I believe that. And I don't believe that every person living on the earth has a guardian angel. I don't believe that, according to the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that he gives his angels to them that fear him. And I personally believe that when a person rejects Christ, that and God tells his angels that, so that they maybe will remove, God will, for whatever, remove his hand of protection from that person. I don't know exactly, but I just know what the Bible has to say about that. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So when a person gets saved, God maybe says, hey, they got saved, get down there and help them. And I don't know exactly how it all works, but that's what the Bible says, that God confesses the names of those who get saved to his angels. Let me give you another attribute of angels here. They take note of the affairs of Christians. This is very, very interesting here. Let me read to you a couple verses that when I first read them, I had to stop and I had to think. I had to meditate. Even me and Pastor Jerry talked about him for a while, because when you first read him, you're like, what in the world is that talking about? But the more you study it, the more you meditate on it, it makes sense. They take note of the affairs of Christians. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle. That means a place for a public show unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Paul said this about it, and he's specifically talking about the apostles here. And he's specifically talking about, and he speaks of the fact that they're going to be martyred. And he says that God has done that unto the world, and to angels, and to men. And here's the verse here that I was talking to you about that was very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And I'll be honest with you, when I first read that verse, I've read that chapter lots of times, and I've never caught that verse before. But when you read and see what it says here, let me read it to you again. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now, if you read this passage, this verse in context, what you find is this, that this passage is talking about a woman having long hair as a sign of being in subjection to her husband. Isn't it interesting that that one of the reasons the Bible says she should do this, that she should have long hair and be in subjection to her husband, is because the angels take notice? Very interesting. I thought about that. I wonder if it is because when a woman isn't in subjection to her husband. And by the way, I'll have Pastor Jerry take care of most of this. But let me just say this, by the way, ladies. According to the Bible, you should have long hair. Okay? And what is long hair? Well, all I know is the Bible says men should have short hair. There ought to be a difference between a man and a woman when you look at them in their hair, according to the Bible. And the Bible says that a sign of your long hair is a sign of your submissive spirit. And I wonder if the reason the angels take notice is because of the fact that when a woman does not do these things, it's a sign of rebellion. And I don't know about you, but God doesn't care for rebellion. And what was the sin that Satan involved himself in to get himself kicked out of heaven? Pride, which led to his rebellion. And let me tell you something. This whole society of gender blending that Pastor talks about, let me tell you something. There's way more to that than what a lot of Christians want to give heed notice to. The Bible says the angels take notice. And very, very interesting there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So the angels are allowed by God to take note of the affairs of Christians. And I don't know maybe all the reasons why, but according to the Bible, they do. Let me give you another attribute of angels here, is that they are amazed. I love this one. They're amazed at God's salvation to mankind. They're amazed at that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Peter's talking about the gospel being preached and people accepting it. But notice this last phrase he tacks on the end here. Which things the angels desire to look into. You know what? The angels were there when the Prince of Glory, Jesus Christ, left the portals of heaven to be made into human flesh. Could you imagine? I'm not so sure. The Bible never tells us, but God never tells us anywhere where he explained his plan to the angels. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But could you imagine being an angel in heaven? And for all this time, of course, Jesus Christ is the focal point of heaven. Jesus Christ is what it's all about. He's the Prince of Glory. And they love Jesus and they worship him. And all of a sudden, one day, he decides to robe himself, to leave heaven and robe himself in the lowly flesh of mankind. Hey, they saw all that he went through to redeem man from his sin debt. Hey, they saw as God judged the sins of a wicked creation on the back of a perfect Savior. Hey, they know and understand the great love that Almighty God has for his lowly race of dust, and no doubt wish that they could experience the love of God in the special way that we as members of the human race can. Could you imagine? I mean, the angels have got to just be in awe of the fact of how much God loves man. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, God made all the angels. They worship God. Why was that not enough for God? You know why? Because he wanted another creation that would choose to love him. And the fact that God reciprocates that love to us, and the angels are in amazement. And that is why Jesus said in John 3, for God so loved the world. And folks, I just don't think we understand sometimes. And Satan's done a good job of keeping our minds blinded from the truths of the Word of God. But I'm just telling you, according to the Bible, the angels are amazed at God's salvation to mankind. And then last of all, on the attributes of angels is this. Once again, very interesting verse. Angels, according to the Bible, will be judged by Christians during the millennium. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 says this, know ye not that we shall judge angels? That's what the Bible says. You say, well, what's it got to do with the millennium? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they, speaking of the saved, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, folks, during that time, during the millennial reign, we will rule and reign with Christ. Who are we to rule and reign over? I mean, the fact of ruling and reigning speaks of positions of authority. And according to the Bible, some of the thing that we'll be ruling and reigning over is the angels. And like I said, I don't know that I completely understand all what that means, but that's what the Bible says. Now, real quick, let me just finish up. I got about 10 minutes. Let me break down for you, according to the Bible, the division of angels. Okay? The division of angels. Okay? The first type of angelic beings we see in the Bible, or not the first, but the first one here, on my point, is this. A group of creatures, angelic creatures, known as the seraphim. The seraphim. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So we find, first of all, that this angelic group called the seraphim. There's another reference to them in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of an unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. These angelic beings known as the seraphim, here the Bible says that they're above the throne of God. And it describes of having six wings. And when Isaiah saw this vision, one of them had to do with Isaiah being cleansed. It said he took a hot coal from off the altar and put it upon Isaiah's lips. And there's not a lot of reference about the seraphim in the Bible, but there are a few. So we have the division called the seraphim. There's another division of angels called the cherubim. These are the next highest creatures, and have four wings, and are located beneath the throne of God. The seraphim are located above, and the cherubim are located below. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. The Bible tells us in verse 5, chapter 1, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And verse 12, and their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels they four had. And according to the Bible, the cherubim is another angelic group. And it says here that they have likeness of man. It says that they have bodies, they have wings, they have hands, they have eyes, they have feet. And I really don't know what this means, but they have wheels. That's what Isaiah described them as. He said they had wheels. They were full of wheels. And maybe that has to do with some type of a light that was moving around them or something. I don't know. But there's this group called the cherubim. So we have the seraphim. We have the cherubim. There's another group of angels the Bible calls are the archangels. And of course, the Bible speaks of Michael as being an archangel. Jude verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. So the Bible calls Michael an archangel. Now, I personally believe that God created three archangels. And I believe that because the Bible speaks the most about them. I believe Michael, God created as an archangel that were to lead the armies of heaven. And we prove that by showing that it says Michael and his angels had war with the devil and his angels. Then there's another angel, I believe. The Bible doesn't call him an archangel, but I believe he is an archangel, is Gabriel. When Gabriel introduced himself to Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, he said this, And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Gabriel specifically says that he stands in the presence of God. I believe Gabriel was the archangel that was God's messenger. He was the one that delivered messages for God. And then, of course, I believe that the other archangel God created was Lucifer. And Lucifer, at one time, I believe, was the greatest archangel. I believe Lucifer was created in heaven to lead the worship in heaven. And we know in Ezekiel, Lucifer, part of his, when God created him, the Bible says that God created made within him music and musical instruments. Let me read the verses to you. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 through 14. Thou hast been in Eden, a garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. By the way, as I read this story to you, okay, I'm sorry, read this description of who Lucifer is. This sounds nothing what Hollywood makes the devil to be. And it says here, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardas, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. Satan, Lucifer, was and possibly still is. The Bible says he's transformed into an angel of light. So the Bible doesn't really say. I don't know maybe if his visage changed when he fell or not. But at one time, Lucifer, I believe, was the greatest archangel creation, most beautiful of God. And by the way, why do you think Lucifer had enough clout in heaven to cause a third of the angels to follow him? It's because, I believe, of the position God gave him. It says this of Lucifer, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And folks, Satan, when God made him, created within him musical instruments. And that's why I believe today Satan has worked so hard at using music as his medium to draw people to himself. I believe today that the wrong kind of music, in essence, is kind of like Satan's Holy Spirit that draws people. I mean, I'm telling you, music, and I'm not teaching on this tonight, but music, the wrong kind of music, just it captures people. I mean, it possesses them. I mean, when you try to talk to people about it, you hear them say this, that's my music. No, it's not your music. Where'd you get that idea from? It's because of the direct relation of music and Satan. So I believe Lucifer was also an archangel in heaven. Now, real quick, we're almost done. Wow, I talked fast, didn't I? And who was it that said, talk real fast with gusts of 90 miles an hour? I don't know. Some preacher said that when he came through here last, but I feel that way tonight. Now, real quick, as we close, let me just give you some practical application. I always believe that the Bible ought to be practical in our everyday lives. So I want to leave you with three things that you can make practical in your life from the study of angels. Number one is this. If the angels who have not and will not experience the love and saving grace of God to the extent that we as human beings have, if they choose to love and serve God, so should we. So should we. By the way, the angels had to make a choice. They did. I personally believe, this is my personal belief, that the day that Lucifer drew a third of those angels with him, I believe that God gave the angels that day one opportunity to choose what side they were going to be on. And I believe, my personal belief is that was their opportunity to choose. And I guarantee you this, once these fallen angels, the Bible talks about, Pastor taught about that, about how God's reserved some of them in chains of darkness. You know what? How many of you think that if they had the choice, they'd go back to God's side? I'm sure they would. But when they made their choice, they made it for eternity. And listen to me, folks, the angels did have to choose. And if they chose to love and serve God, the ones that did, and they haven't experienced the love of God the way we have, if they could do it, shouldn't we also? Shouldn't we also just follow the greatest commandment of all, love the Lord thy God with all our soul, heart, mind, and strength? I mean, folks, look, if they did it, I think we should, amen? Number two, practical application. God uses his angels to protect us when we are in his will. We are immortal until our mission for God is done. Okay, folks, that's why, I mean, the safest place is in the center of God's will. When you're there, God dispatches his forces to make sure that you do what you got to do and he's done with you. All right, so hey, you're immortal. I remember the story of, the missionary. I think it may have been David Brainerd. And he was praying on the beach one day. And an Indian snuck up behind him, was going to hatchet him to death. But what stopped that Indian was as he was on his knees praying, he saw a venomous snake coil right up and get ready to strike David Brainerd. But for whatever reason, that snake turned and went the other way. And that Indian did not kill him because of what he saw happen that day. So folks, listen to me. Your mission on earth, you're immortal until God's done with you. Amen? And so that's why it's important to be in the will of God. Okay, don't get out of the will of God. That's a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous place to be. So God uses his angels to protect us when we are in his will. We are immortal until our mission for God is done. And last of all, number three is this. Never let a fascination with angels keep you from worshiping God and always giving him the attention in your life that he deserves. Okay, folks, listen to me. I mean, this was an awesome study. I'm glad we could do it. But you know what? We shouldn't get fascinated too much by this, that we spend more time reading books about angels than we do the Bible. All right. If you want to read a book about angels, read the Bible. Okay. And I'm not saying all those books are wrong. I like to read some of them, and I have, and I probably still will. But I don't want those to ever take the place of God and my relationship with Jesus Christ in my life. Because listen to me, the devil will use anything. He doesn't care. As long as he can get your focus off of Jesus Christ, he doesn't care what he uses. If he uses this thing about angels, he'll do it, all right? So make sure that you worship God. Remember the charge of the angels. Worship God, all right? So I pray this was a help to you tonight. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've done for us, God. Thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what you've given us to us in your word. Thank you that you do send your angels to protect us. And Lord, I thank you that you watch over us and keep us safe. Sometimes even, Lord, when our own stupidity gets us into problems, Lord, you're there to help us. You're there to take care of us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Savior. And I pray that we'd love you more and more and better every day. And Lord, as we have this invitation, Lord, if there's a work in someone's heart tonight that you need to do, I pray that they would allow them to do so. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's